Great. So we now have everyone on the line, and we can go ahead and get started. I did not make a formal agenda for today, so you can just start by calling the roll.
All right, well, we can call to order. Heads up, I had dental work done today, unsurprisingly, so I may look a little funny because half my face doesn't work, but
we can
call to order.
Ian present.
Katrina Holland present.
Christian Bryan here.
Lovely.
Great.
So, sounds like there's a change of plans. I missed the beginning part, but it sounds like screening criteria was moved to October. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Do we have an updated draft or version?
No, we do not. So I'm working with Jamie, and she has promised to get staff a copy of an updated proposal when it's ready. I'll do my best to remember what she said during the meeting, and Ian and Christian fill in if I miss anything.
Uh-huh.
But she let the RC know that she had received a good faith effort of a proposal from Tyrone of One App Oregon, who was working with a group of individuals who represented different people and industry representatives, and they had put together a revised screening criteria proposal. And so Jamie wanted to take time to consider that with the RSC's input. And so she...
I'm not really able to hear who's talking right now. Maybe we can position the speakerphone a little bit on the table, or maybe it's just a connection.
Yeah, unfortunately we're using the laptop, so I'll just try to project more.
I'm going to look right in your nostrils, Andres.
Sounds good. So I was summing up what Jamie said at the last meeting, and she let the RC know that she had received a proposal from Tyrone, who was working with some other industry individuals, and they had submitted a proposal of a revised screening criteria policy. And so Jamie wanted to delay the September 20th council meeting, mm-hmm. and has bumped that out to October 18th in an effort to consider their input as well as the RSC's input. And so that's delayed, which changes the RSC's timeline. But in addition to that, she asked that the group think about moving its meetings, because she does not have a revised proposal that incorporates the comments given from that group. And so there are no materials yet. The meeting, as scheduled right now, your second September meeting is in exactly a week. I typically like to give you all a week to review materials. We do not have a date on when those materials will be ready. So that's been the reason we've done the doodle polls, to try to find an alternative meeting time. And then in addition to moving the second September meeting, she also suggested looking at moving the October meeting, because we're running into the same issue where her where her council date is October 18th, your October meeting is October 16th. So once again, you're having a meeting 2 days before council, which means if you produce anything substantial, then it is unlikely it will be reviewed well by council offices. And so we're trying to see if we can find a later September meeting and an earlier October meeting, and that's what we're working with right now.
So we need to move both?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that makes a lot of sense based off of the discussion from last time. What do you think, Ian? Or what do you think, Christian?
I can hear you perfectly, but I couldn't hear a single word Andrea said.
Oh, no. Basically, we'll have to, we're being asked to move the next two upcoming meetings so that we can produce something that's not 2 days before the hearing on October 18th. That's the sum of it. And then and the materials, and correct me if I'm wrong, Andres, but the materials will not be ready for our next October meeting. That's what I heard you say, right?
For the next September meeting.
Yeah, for the next September meeting. And so what about the first October meeting then? Did I miss?
The first October meeting is too close to a council date.
Got it. Okay. Oh, I see. So the materials won't be ready for the second September meeting, and the October 16th hearing date is 2 days before, or meeting is 2 days before the council hearing date.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. And so doodle polls have been sent out to reschedule those.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that makes a lot of sense based off of the discussion from last time, right?
Mm-hmm. So right now,
yeah, that makes sense.
We have 8 responses out of 13, 12, since Christina's on leave.
Okay.
Of the 8 people, it seems like the October meeting time we're looking at works out. But the original September meeting time only had 4 out of 8 able to attend. So we have sent a second, we've added an additional date. We found a room not in the building, and we could move the meeting back to be on September 25th, but we still are waiting to hear back if that works for everyone or enough people.
I will not be in Portland. I will be in Salem for Ledge Days.
Okay. So I guess from the executive committee, is there any guidance beyond pick the meeting that has the most people able to attend for September?
Pretty much. Sounds like that's our only option, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Great. So I'm curious, If folks have any additional questions, I'm kind of curious about the action items. But if there are any other questions about the last topic, are we good?
Scheduling?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I think we're good.
So how do folks think the last meeting went with the outline, the action items outline, the matrix that Andre set for everyone? How do we think the discussion went? No response.
Well, I have a response. I was waiting for.
Sorry, I thought I heard you on Andrea specifically. I mean, I think it seemed to go fine. It seemed to be about more organized than we have been in the past. And given we're not necessarily coming to an agreement, not quite sure I can think of a better way to do it either.
Well, Christian, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So I just had a concern that, people weren't engaged, and maybe that's just kind of the way that we've seen this, evolve, because I remember with the Relotech, everyone had a million things to say, and then with the first few RSC meetings, people had a lot of stuff to say, and maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to consider all angles of this. Maybe it's that people are just sort of exhausted, maybe it's that there's too much content being thrown at them, maybe it's just that people don't want to go on the records now that things are getting hot, or maybe it's that something in how we're facilitating the meetings. So that could just be me projecting. Like, I don't know, that maybe people just weren't, didn't have a lot to say, but that was just an observation I had.
I got the same sense.
Same here. I mean, I think the format was great in the sense that we were able to get the information from everybody as much as we could, but it definitely felt like there was a lot of hesitation at the table. Not in the sense that folks didn't want to speak at all, but that they did have something to say but didn't really want to say it. So I'm curious what's behind that at all, if there is a change in the way we facilitate, or if it's just something we can just expect. I mean, it is a political space, right? Gosh, I look so silly. Sorry. I'm going to cover this part of my face. Yeah, I don't know. What are you thinking? What's your sense?
I am wondering if... well, maybe I'll just say personally, I'm feeling like it's hard for me to know how everything ties together. So I'm just being totally honest with this group. I have trouble viewing it from a for-profit landlord perspective. I have trouble viewing it from a tenant perspective. And I have trouble viewing it from an affordable housing perspective sometimes, where it's just, along with everything else going on in life and work, it's just hard for me to know, like, this is going to impact this many people in this one way. So maybe that's just the nature of policymaking, where you can never know every single scenario. But I'm even finding it hard to sort of like ground myself in some of these discussions sometimes. So that's just me being very honest. I think that other folks who have more of a stake in certain angles of it may not feel that way, and there may be another reason that they're getting there. And it could also be that I was just out of office for 6 weeks, so I didn't have a chance to check in with my colleagues. But that's sort of where I was.
No, if I'm honest, Ian, I kind of feel the same way. Not in the sense that we don't understand the impact to tenants, because obviously this is an idea that tenant advocates brought forth. But it's difficult to try to reconcile and essentially argue to solution the different impacts from different parties in a really succinct way, in a way that can be captured in like sound bites or written bites, as Andres is writing. And then also to think about like from a long-term perspective of how do we get to solution. I mean, it feels like this is such a heavy policy that, I know that we can't do this, but it feels like there's so much that people have to say about certain aspects of the policy that we literally have to bite it off piece by piece to say like, okay, let's talk about this specific section of the policy. How would folks be impacted here? How do we come to a resolution so that it looks the way that it should for both parties, kind of thing? And I mean, to your point, Ian, I do think with this particular policy, it is the nature of policy making because it is innovative. Screening criteria stuff isn't really, I think Jamie mentioned like Louisiana that had done some work around it, but it's not a big thing that's happened around the nation. So I'm comfortable living with it, but it does feel difficult.
Yeah, I think as I'm sitting here thinking about it, now that I think about it and hearing what you guys have said, there are definitely some differences between how this committee is interacting versus the relocation oversight committee did. And part of me wonders, I wonder if it might be a byproduct of us not being forced to come to an agreement. If we're not required to come to an agreement, then the wind in everyone's sails to try and make a cogent argument while we're at the table to change anyone's mind is kind of sucked out a bit, in a sense, because, if you don't have to change someone's mind, then people aren't necessarily going to dive into an argument at that point. There's, not much in it for them. But I wonder if that has to do with, if that's part of it. I don't know that I would want to actually change that, if that is the cause. But that's, comparing the two committees, that's about the only thing I can think of that is, like, actually different. I think half of our committee here is made up of the same people, and the other people are fairly similar, so I wonder if that has something to do with it, and it might just be kind of the nature of the beast, and I don't know, but I'm definitely open to changing things up if anyone has any bright ideas, though, that might spread spur a little more constructive conversation.
Well, I think that that's a really good observation, Christian. I think another key difference that might be a part of that is that RELO, Mandatory RELO, had already been passed, at least on a temporary basis. So there was at least a foundation for the discussion around something that existed with some parameters and tweaks or, you know, changes to that. And that's not the case here. So when we're talking, first of all, about two policies and how they interact, each of which I think is more complicated than Mandatory RELO, especially screening criteria in my view. So it's sort of a combination of both, where first of all, there's just a lot, and in theory, you know, one vote on the council, 3-2, is going to matter whether this is passed or not. And so I think you're right. We are basically talking about, I mean, if you zoom out, we're basically talking about, is this whole package passing or is this whole package not passing? Versus, well, let's get to consensus or modified consensus on this. Let's get to consensus on this. Let's get to consensus on this individual point. But so then I would say that I don't really know how we can do anything different. Like, if we're channeling toward these very short deadlines, and again, you want to preserve the integrity of the body, of the RSC, I think we have to engage in this imperfect process. And that's really hard because we are put in this almost impossible position of saying, talk about all the implications of this really difficult sort of free-flowing issue, and then give us recommendations on it. So I don't know that there's necessarily anything we can do.
Oh, what's that?
I was just saying, I don't know that there's necessarily anything that we can do beyond, like, to change the discussion. And I almost would say that I liked that we set some, like, everyone gets to talk up front, because even though we intended it as being we want to limit who talks and make sure that everyone gets a chance, it kind of, like, forced people to talk in an odd way.
Yeah. Something you brought up that actually completely reminded me about the last meeting, it definitely seemed like, just looking at the faces around the room, when Jamie opened up the meeting saying one has been rescheduled again. Actually, I guess not necessarily again. That's not fair. I don't know if this one necessarily been rescheduled before. But more importantly, that she couldn't tell us what, but significant sections of it are going to be changed quite a bit. She couldn't tell us what they were. And at that moment, I could definitely see at least four people around the table kind of just have that, oh, they're disappeared all their energy. They're like, okay, so we don't even know which parts of these that we're talking about right now are actually going to go through. So am I wasting my breath talking about this specific thing, or is it pertinent? You know, I wonder, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously we can't control what the commissioner office, different commissioner offices are able to do and everything, but I wonder, it might just be kind of a byproduct of dealing with the climate we're in now, and hopefully long run, like I've been saying, maybe we'll be able to get caught up and we'll be able to be the ones actually, you know, spearheading conversations and ideas and proposals that then be kind of ahead of the game rather than just playing catch up and at the mercy of, an ever-changing fluid legislative proposal that is coming up at some point in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a difficult spot because, you know, at the end of the day, as I was saying a little bit earlier, this is a very political space that we are functioning in, and the reality is because, to your point, it is not a passed policy where folks are kind of forced to try to make it work, and the rules of the group itself don't mandate that we have to agree. There's still a possibility that folks could lobby on the back end and try to kill it, or folks could lobby on the front end and change it dramatically within, you know, a pretty limited time frame because it's such a political issue. I'm wondering if we can kind of create a hybrid scenario one of the recommendations, or one of the parts of a recommendation we can add to any policy is like a section around contested items and potentially consensus-based resolution. And what I mean by that is, so in the policy, we have our majority report and our minority report. We have comments from each particular side or each organization that are specific to certain points of the policy. What if on, you know, for example, criminal history screening around points A, B, and C or whatever, we actually had a section of the meeting where we force folks to come to some sort of consensus-based recommendation that would work for both parties, but also include one side of the argument and the other side of the argument. It's almost like a spectrum of recommendations. And I mean, not to say, I mean, the risk of that obviously is council members choosing the consensus-based item or people not participating in it because they really want to make their specific side or their points on their side. But, you know, it's worth a shot. I don't know. And it's just on hotly contested items. So things where folks don't have action items that are, you know, there's a significant back and forth that we pick up during the meeting or that staff picks up during the meeting. We leave those alone. It's just the contested items. What do you think?
Christian, do you have any thoughts on that? I want to give you an...
I'm trying to do, of course, two things at once. Was what you're kind of trying to say, or maybe did say, and I am just struggling to pick up, that we wouldn't necessarily have, like, officially in our report be coming to a consensus, but at the very least playing out the conversation to see if we come to something, or were you talking about something a little more official and certain things we just decide, hey, I'm deciding we needed to make a decision?
I did not make a recommendation on that. I think that's the level.
I'm just trying to understand what you're trying to say.
What I'm suggesting is instead of presenting just one side of an issue and another side of the issue, we present a spectrum, right? So we have one side of an issue that feels this way about this policy, we have a complete other side of the spectrum, and then in the middle during our meetings, we actually ask people, force people to come to a consensus-based resolution, right, that says to this particular argument. And it would, I mean, I did not make a recommendation as to whether or not it would be an official part of the report or just a request, but I think, you know, playing off of the, depending on who's talking about it, the success of relocation negotiations, I think that extra pressure of having to apply or having to include some sort of consensus-based proposal would add a little bit. It would kind of force people to have more of a constructive dialogue and maybe bring more direction to the conversation.
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
And it could only be on contested items, not on the entire policy.
I mean, I hesitate to say to dive in this, because we've got a lot of controversial issues that I think it's somewhat unrealistic that we'll be able to come to a conclusion. But for the last few years that the State Landlord-Tenant Coalition was in operation, I had the pleasure of working on that, and that was one thing that I thought at least was productive about that process, was that, you know, at the end of it, everyone had to come to an agreement, and at the end of the day, everyone started with, you know, at the beginning of the year with their wish list of everything they want, and at the end of it came out an agreement that everyone was okay with, no one was excited about, no one hated, which in theory is a good negotiation. And it was pretty productive. So, I mean, I definitely think, at least in my experience on some committees like this, it seems to be a little more productive if we are trying to negotiate, come to some sort of conclusion. With that said, I don't know that I would want to really even approach the topic of trying to do that with this committee, at least at this point. And there's just so much stuff, but I mean, I don't, I find it unrealistic that we would be able to really come to a, you know, exact, you know, conclusion, and that that conclusion would match up with what all the city council members were thinking too. But so I don't know. I kind of loop back around. I don't know that really there's a whole lot we can do at this moment. But I mean, I'm open to trying. If you want to do that, maybe I don't know if we have time to start experimenting too much with the screening and security deposit stuff. I mean, I could even talk to trying if you guys think it's feasible. But yeah, I'm open to it. So yeah, that was a whole bunch of words to be able to say. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I don't disagree.
Well,
what do you think, Ian?
Well, one concern I would have is that, I mean, that presumes that we are all on board with, let's say, screening criteria legislation at all, and then we have specific items within that that are contentious. But I just don't even know if I think about some of the folks in the room on both sides, I don't know whether they would even get to there. Like Leah, for example, I don't know, or Deborah, like I don't know where they stand necessarily on whether this is a good idea to have screening criteria or not. And I would ask the same question about security deposits with regard to some of the tenant advocates. You know, so I guess I'm willing to do that if you think the issues can be narrow enough and that there is that foundation where we agree that something is going to happen or needs to happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we just have to ask the question. Maybe it's dependent upon this option is only available if folks agree. And yes, this is something that needs to happen.
I think it's worth thinking about, but I'd echo treading lightly. I think that when the group was formed, one of the selling points was that it wouldn't be a consensus-based group, and so coming to the table didn't mean agreeing to support policies or committing individual or organization support for concepts. And so I think that early on, people were coming off of the RELO Technical Advisory Group. I think people were really reluctant to be a part of something that would lead them to feeling like they were now obligated to support something where their name was going to be put on an NN product. I think going back to what made the RELO Technical Advisor Group palatable for some people is the idea that it was a done policy. The group wasn't there to decide should this policy exist or not. It's simply saying the policy does exist. That is a fact. Now, what do you do with an existing policy? And so I think that that's a point that could be difficult for some people.
No, that's real. Yeah. I think our only solution to that is to just ask, like, call the question.
Well, I mean, I think right now, there's no harm in asking, so I'm never against just posing a question. I think right now, with the current stuff, with the screening criteria and security deposits, it would be pretty unrealistic, if not impossible, to be able to change gears right now and say we're going to try and come to a consensus. The couple reasons to say that: one, there's only so much time, and that is a different way of approaching these strategies different way of approaching these meetings. But more importantly, you know, if I go back, and I'm sorry to keep going back to it, but it's the only experience I have that's very, very similar. Like the Landlord-Tenant Coalition, I mean, it started with both sides of the table, you know, coming with, here's what we want to see. Now let's do a give and take. And with what's currently on the table here in Portland, it's here's what the tenants want, and the tenant with tenant protections, and I'm not saying they're not warranted or anything like that. It's not a debate I'm trying to get into, but we didn't start from the place of the tenants say, we want screening criteria and security deposit reform, here's what it is, and also at the same time, same starting point, the landlord side or even the nonprofit or governmental agency side wasn't able to start with something on their side either.
Yeah.
So I would say it's very unrealistic that you're going to get the, you know, the Leahs and the Debras and whatnot to be willing to try and reach a consensus when it didn't really start on an even playing field, which, again, it is what it is. We're dealing with what we've got. And so, I mean, I feel like for these, we kind of just have to trudge forward. But we can always ask the question. I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, I think it's important to ask the question, and I just want to make sure this is on the record because I know it's recorded. I think from the tenant advocate's perspective, the Landlord-Tenant Coalition did not provide that opportunity because it was very, we didn't feel like it was on an even playing field because it felt like a lot of the substantive issues, at least this is what I've told my predecessors, a lot of the substantive issues we would bring would always get shut down, and so we would only be able to work on some smaller and there was a heavier level of presence. So I just wanted to make sure that's on record. The landlord was not like negotiating space or a space that didn't have to fill it.
Can you guys hear her?
Okay, sorry.
Katrina, you're cutting out a little bit. Can you hear us?
Oh, I was just from the tenant perspective of the landlord coalition. Space and on a thing too, perspective. Very much situation where when we were in subsequent actions, we were told by the railroad they would not come unless we talk about those kinds of things or a lot of actions that had got taken off of the table. And so I just want to have it on record. From our perspective, it was not in the playing field, so I did not.
Okay, Christian, were you able to hear all of what Katrina said? Christian, are you still there?
Oh yeah, I'm there.
Were you able to hear what Katrina said just now?
Yeah, I did. And I mean, I definitely see where they're coming from, and the reality is, if you know, you want to make very large strides and big changes, then a coalition of adversaries coming to an agreement isn't going to work. So I definitely get where she's coming from and what she's saying. I heard everything. Yeah.
Well, this might be kind of blowing up this conversation a little bit, but I'm wondering if, you know, I raised at the outset that the group didn't seem as engaged as before, which really is a function of just maybe people not having as much to say as before. I don't know that that's such a problem, given what we need to tackle in the next 6 weeks. So... And I do agree that it doesn't hurt to ask, but I also wonder if we've sort of, like I've been trying to reiterate this in a couple of these meetings, is like I just want this group of three people, especially you two, to, you know, be viewed by the full RSC as in command, and you don't have, it doesn't have to be that you're certain of every single decision, but that, you know, we're a leadership group. So I wouldn't want to throw something out there. I do think that that's a really good model, at a minimum for the subcommittee we talked about, and especially if they're doing after the fact technical fixes. I do think it could be a future model for us as we're doing more brainstorming. I worry a little bit about asking the question, because I could see everyone in the room being like, well, we have 6 weeks on this, we have two meetings, and we just know that we need to talk for 4 hours about this stuff. So, you know, it's not like we have a good structure for the next 2 years on something. I guess that's just my way of saying, I'd be fine sort of staying the course with the current setup without trying to change the structure too much. If Andres felt that we could get to somewhere that was helpful to give to council.
I think keeping the format we have now, which is not as satisfying maybe, or conclusive, is the best way to prevent. What I'm worried about is I already feel like we as staff are bombarding commission members with emails and information. Jamie got back to me with the research and background literature that she used in the proposal that she mentioned, and it's like 12 links. And so I feel like from staff we are constantly sending commission members, please respond to this poll right now, please do this new format to explain your thoughts, please call us to further think through your perspective on this, also make sure you're keeping up with the drafts, here's some additional information for you to read outside of meetings. I feel like we are overwhelming members, and so I am more inclined to wait on introducing anything new until after we have closed the book on these policies, at least through the next two meetings.
I hear you. I feel like of this question,
Yeah, you're still cutting in and out.
I think that's just sure of can you hear me?
A little bit.
Okay, I'm gonna turn. Does that help?
You still cut out.
Do you have Christian cell?
Can you hear me?
No. Hey, Christian, can you just give me your cell? I'm just going to try to call the both of you, and we can do it on my cell phone if that's okay.
Sure. 503-999.
You don't think it's allowed?
To pause the meeting recording. No, you're fine. I paused the meeting recording. So that Christian's full number wouldn't be on public record.
That was smart.
Oh, is that you calling from New York?
Yep. Hey, let me add Katrina in.
This technology is just not...
Great.
Okay, we should turn the internet again.
Okay, are we all here?
All right. So I was saying is, I think I hear you, Andres, and I feel maybe I'm just crazy, but I feel like that's just the nature of this particular. Can we keep the video on by chance?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
I mean, we can mute it because I can hear you guys, but I like being able to see your face. Sorry.
Yeah.
I hear you, Andres, and at the same time, I'm like, you know, maybe I'm crazy, but that's just kind of the nature of this particular group. It's new. We're trying a new format. We're taking on some really heavy policy issues, and people have asked some really substantive questions, and the answers to those questions are pretty heavy in response with a lot of substance. So I think, I mean, I say all that to say, yes, I cannot lie and say that I don't feel overwhelmed. But I feel like the overwhelming feeling is part of the process, and so I'm committed to doing that. I can't say the same for other members, but I'm just speaking for myself here. That being said, I think maybe what we can do is sort of backtrack and ask folks at the Rental Services Commission can we get a sense for where folks are as to whether or not these policies should exist or not? That way we can sort of answer the question about presumption. If it, in fact, 100% true that we don't, that not everybody at the table is like, this should pass and therefore we should come up with some constructive way to give our feedback, then we leave it as is. But if folks are, you know, are generally okay and we feel comfortable with it, then we can ask the question. I don't want to miss an opportunity, you know, because I feel like the consensus-based process or the space where we are forced to come to an agreement, even if just for a recommendation, not necessarily to say that this should be the thing, but just to present as a spectrum on the recommendation, it would be good. It would be helpful. I know that, and I'll be honest and say, I know that adds a lot of pressure, right? Because folks would be on record as to whether or not these critical policies need to happen, and that may be really uncomfortable, but that's policy. That's go to politics. So I'm not the final say, obviously, so if you guys vote me out, that's what happens, but I think we should ask at least so we don't miss an opportunity, because we could be totally wrong, right? And then we don't know.
Christian, Ian, what do you think about that idea?
Sorry, I was trying to find my mute button. I mean, like I said before, I don't see any harm in asking. I will be surprised if it looks like we would be able to switch gears and do that at this point, but it wouldn't be the first time I've been surprised, so I don't mind asking the question. One thing, like when you brought up about people being overwhelmed, that is definitely, you know, as you know, the three of us, you know, it's one of the main jobs that we have, or authorities or whatever you want to call it, is deciding what's on the agenda and what our schedule is and what we're talking about. And something we always have to keep in mind, I mean, it's unfortunate right now, we don't really have a choice because this legislation is coming up and we just have to cram it in. But the reality is it's a committee full of volunteers that know that their decisions and opinions here are not ironclad, and the city council can choose to listen or not, which, having that kind of set up, you're already teetering on the line with volunteers of them always taking this hard look at how worth this process is to their time. And so I think just as the leadership, as executive committee, that's something we got to make sure we keep in mind. I mean, like I said, I don't think there's anything we can change right now. I mean, we're just kind of forced to have this situation. But as time moves forward, we definitely need to make sure we're cognizant of the fact that it is a committee full of volunteers, and I mean, if we ended up losing, you know, three or four people off the committee, it's, you know, not necessarily a never-ending trough of volunteers chomping at the bit to get onto this committee. So, you know, we need to also make sure that we're managing people's time as best we can.
Yeah. So I'm not ready to commit either way, Katrina. I know what time it is right now, but maybe, Andres, could you just sort of remind us where we are in terms of the next two meetings and what you feel you need after the last meeting?
Mm-hmm. So we're going to be reviewing, we're ready for the RSC to review the list of action items it's generated. The reason I'm hesitating is because we will not know until the new proposal is out how much has and hasn't been addressed. So last time we made a list of action items, a number of them were addressed in the subsequent draft of the policy that was released. And so I expect that there will be a degree of reconciliation after a new proposal is issued to see, okay, here's our list of, I think right now it's 36 action items that the Rules and Bylaws Committee has approved. Which of these are still relevant? Which of these have been addressed? And then what's left for the Commission to weigh in on, in addition to anything substantial that changed in the policy? And so that's where things are a little bit open-ended now, where the clearest direction for the next meeting is review the existing action items. There will be an updated document of a matrix that summarizes
the Rental Services Commission's comments. So I'm envisioning the next meeting still being an opportunity for commission members to continue to put input on the record, saying, I really want to say this about this component, it's not represented right now, and then reviewing the action items that have been suggested. But there will always be the degree of change of the new proposal.
So, and how many action items do you think were resolved last time?
Last time.
If in the meeting the other day, if at all. And so I'm going to use one as an example. There was the discussion that I think Margot had raised around, what was it, 5 business days to respond to, I forget what, get a landlord reference.
Right.
When you've notified them that you're planning to
for
move out
with a
30-day,
yeah.
Or for security deposits. So I couldn't tell if that was a resolved item or if that was just, like, the owners in the room were saying, well, if this were all to be passed, then we would want it to be 5 days, but we don't even agree with the basic premise.
I think the second is accurate.
Okay.
And I think that in those situations, it then goes back to Commissioner Daly's office and Jamie, who's representing that office, saying, yes, I'll make that change, and then that being in a subsequent draft. And so
okay.
I'm finishing cleaning up the materials that sum up the RSC's questions, comments, and action items that have been given to me. And then I'll be sending that over to Jamie and Commissioner Daly's office and communicating that the desire is to receive a response to the questions and some kind of response to the action items as well, if that's something they're interested in doing.
Okay, and then so for getting to October 18th, do you have a sense of what the next 2 meetings should be to guide us, or should we?
I think it will depend on the meeting dates a little bit, where I think the next meeting is pretty clear, where the agenda is going to be some sort of compilation of going through the action items, having discussion time for the new proposal and any changes that were seen there, and then that will likely fill up the entire meeting between those two things. And then ideally, and this is going to be really dependent on how the commission responds at that meeting and how much they feel like their previous comments address the new draft. It's possible if the changes are, let's say, because I have a list from comment what the most contentious items seem to be. So if there are changes to the individualized assessment, let's say, then it could be that all previous comments that were given are still relevant, and the only thing that needs to be addressed is there is this really big change with individualized assessment, and that still allows me an opportunity to draft an opinion and put that before the group at that last meeting. If the conversation is more all over the place, then it will be harder to keep those comments and feel like it's possible to give an accurate representation of where the commission's at.
Okay.
So, you know, just to throw this out there, I feel like in our position we should probably at least think of this being a possibility. All right, say we reschedule, so, well, not say we do, we are rescheduling this meeting, these meetings, and let's say worst case scenario happens, we have no draft, it's not ready. Do we have a backup topic so that we don't end up with another meeting that feels like a waste of everyone's time because we have nothing to talk about because we didn't have a draft of anything ready?
Well, let's put it more directly. On September 25th or 28th, will we have... When you say a draft, what do you mean, Christian?
I mean what we're waiting for from the Daly's office.
Oh.
The next version... the screening criteria reform that she's going to present, as it stands right now, we have no idea how much of this policy that we've been debating is going to be relevant, the same, different, whatever at this point, which granted is unfortunately just politics, some opinions out there? Or do we want to try and figure out a contingency plan if we find out, you know, a week before that she's not going to have anything ready for us, and that way not everyone's wasting their time showing up for a meeting?
When do you think you'll know?
I don't think Jamie knows, and I don't think she'll know because she's working on it, is what I've gotten.
Okay. So if we don't have enough content, if we don't have that draft, we have enough content for a meeting, I certainly think we can go through the action items. That'll take a chunk of time. Do you feel like on security deposits we'll be to having like written opinions?
I can draft if there is no new draft of screening criteria, then I can draft an opinion on security deposits. If there is a new opinion on or a new proposal of screening criteria, I'll likely be busy trying to reconcile them and presenting that in a way that makes sense to the RSC.
So I feel like if we start sort of getting an idea, so either one of those options, we could either review the draft legislation or we could review a draft of minority-majority opinions. And I do think that that's a useful exercise for that group to engage in. You know, they get those drafts in advance, they have a chance to chew them over, and then, you know, we go around the table in some fashion and start talking about what works and what doesn't. This may be, again, me just speaking from my own personal views or concerns, but I think it's hard for people to quite understand what those final opinions would look mm-hmm. like. So.
Yeah, I agree. I think reviewing drafts would be really a really great use of our time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be fine. Yeah, my only concern was, you know, kind of going back to just managing the committee members and making sure they stay engaged and willing to show up. I don't know that we can really afford another meeting like one we had a couple months back.
Absolutely.
So I think as an executive committee, we need to make sure, which I think that's a perfectly good contingency plan. But I think that's something we should always be talking about in these executive committee meetings is, okay, if we're waiting for this from them or from whoever them is, what happens if we don't get it? What's next? To move right into that slot, so that way, hopefully, no matter what, we're continuing forward, being progressive, and being productive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, with that in mind, do we want to plan? Can we talk scheduling for the 2.5 hour block? I would propose that we have, like, the first hour dedicated to either the draft legislation or a draft of reports. And then we could have a half hour public testimony, and then we could spend the back hour on the action items for screening criteria.
I would say that sounds perfect if whatever New Daily's office comes out with doesn't have major changes. If it has major changes, then we're probably going to spend the entire meeting just on that.
Yeah.
It just depends on how big of a change this is. I mean, you know, if we're talking, you know, just some edits and a few sentences, then great, we'll be able to tread right forward. But if, you know, 50% of it is different, then, you know, we're kind of starting from scratch and we're playing catch up. So we're going to have to be flexible enough to absorb that if that's the case. Hopefully, I assume we'll see that. Assuming we're going to have it for the meeting, obviously, we'll see it. With enough time to hopefully know how that's going to look, but Andreas, do we have to have a definitive decision on what our agenda is going to be at this moment, or can we kind of have, this is what it's going to be unless this one runs long?
The contingency plan is fine, so my internal deadline to send out materials is going to be a week from today, assuming it's the 25th, and then later, if it's the 28th, I think is the other date, and so sometime closer to the end of the week, I will have an idea of whether I'm writing draft opinions or whether Jamie thinks that she'll have a draft ready. And so that tentative agenda works fine for me.
Maybe the three of us can try to get on a quick call, like a half hour, if necessary. Is that even allowed? Yeah, if we notice.
If you notice it, yeah.
All right, we can figure that out. Or we could do it by email. Katrina, any thoughts on that?
I mean, I really hope we can leave a last 10 minutes or 15 minutes to really ask that question. So if we can structure that in the agenda,
you know, something occurs to me, which is, I know we're over four. Are you two on the phone okay with talking a couple more minutes?
Yeah, I'm just driving right now. I'm fine.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm looking. Hold on. I think so.
So while you're looking, I'll just talk. What I was going to say is we should start, you know, even if we spend 4 minutes right now talking about what we're going to look at in November and December. Because, and I don't so much care that we have something written in stone, but if someone asks at a meeting, I'd like to not have blank looks on our faces. Rental registration seems like the most appropriate item. And I'm thinking that if we do agree on that, then Katrina, we could ask that question at the end in the context of talking about rental registration to start kind of leading the group to that next topic, knowing that there's a, you know, sunset on our discussion on this one, and also starting to get them thinking about the sort of consensus model that we did, that you had raised.
Quick question, Andreas. If I remember right, when this was created, the idea of minority majority opinions not coming to a consensus, that was in the directive from the mayor. So are we even allowed to make that change without going through his office for approval?
I can look into that, but my initial reaction is that it's not an ironclad requirement.
Yes, and just okay. So we're clear, what I'm recommending is keeping the majority-minority report, but having a section on hotly contested items where an attempt at a consensus process was made and where people landed, and including the consensus on those hotly contested items in the report. Not necessarily either as majority or minority, but almost like a second space.
So, obviously everything we do is official, but essentially it would be more an exercise than an official, like, decision. Am I understanding that right?
Yes, it's almost like additional consideration for council to have.
Sure, I mean, I'm not opposed to try and see how it goes. I think there's definitely topics in the grand umbrella that is landlord-tenant issues that we'd be able to come to some sort of consensus or pretty darn close to it. But of course, you know, just as well as I do, there's going to be others that we won't be able to. So not making an official thing that we absolutely have to do, and at least, you know, maybe trying that exercise out and seeing if maybe we've come out with some better ideas at the end of it or something like that, I think is probably worth our time once we're past this, like, little one-month cram of stuff that we're already, you know, 50 to 75% of the way through.
So does that mean we raise it at the end of the meeting, but we don't try to shoehorn it into this security deposit screening criteria conversation?
Well, maybe we bring it, like, I think it was you that said, or it was Andreas, but I think it was you, Ian. Maybe we address after we're done with this, the next thing on our plate is going to be the rental registration. And for that, so you guys have plenty of time to prepare, we're thinking about trying this out and asking questions that way. That's agreeing with that idea.
Yeah, Katrina, I just want to make sure that that's what you're implying.
It's not, but I'm outvoted. It's not, I'll be honest, but it you know, it is what it is.
And just so I'm clear, Katrina, I'm definitely not against it. I just think everyone's already stressed on how crammed in this stuff is, tight our schedule is right now. I feel like if we tried changing something like that at this stage, I feel like we're almost going to have at least one extra meeting, and it might just be too hard to switch gears right now on these particular topics. That's my only concern. I'm not against it. It's just I don't want to scare people away and thinking, oh, now we're going to change tactics type of thing or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I've just been involved in volunteer boards for too long and I'm too nervous about trying to ask them to do more work.
Yeah, I mean, I think I am curious. If for some reason we were to get more time, would that be an issue?
Well, I mean, if somehow your Daly's office or the mayor or whoever, as far as me, decided, you know what, we're going to push back, you know, another, you know, however long, month or two or whatever, I don't know, then obviously, you know, if we have more time, then absolutely. Everyone on the committee relaxes, you know, emotionally and psychologically, that's the right time to try and change things up or introduce a new way of doing things, because then people aren't going to be, you know, stressed and moving forward towards this one target that we've been focused on. Does that make sense? So, I mean, of course. I mean, if we have more time, people can relax, and I think we definitely get more freedom to play around with things like that, for sure.
Okay. Ian, are you on the same page?
What was that?
Are you on the same page?
Yep.
Okay.
So, last question, what sounds good for November, December, topic-wise? Assuming that we don't get more time on these two. I had thrown rental registration out, because it sounds like that's a big one.
I can't remember what. I'd have to go back and look at the list, but I believe when we went back and through it, I believe priority-wise, rental registration was next on the list. So I'm in agreement with Ian there. But I believe we went through the list of topics we currently have and prioritized them at some point in the last 6 months, didn't we?
We did, but it kind of got blown up by council timing and Commissioner Udaly's proposals coming down the way they did.
Katrina, can you think of any other topic that was on our list besides rental registration that you think should be next? Or
I know rental registration was, I think, our next one, actually. So I think rental registration is a good way.
Perfect.
Okay.
So, Andreas, anything else from us then, or did we just...
I have a question about staffing, though, and kind of where the Housing Bureau is. I mean, has PHB connected with Metro at all about this? Because I know they're also looking at the same thing.
About rental unit registration?
Yes.
I don't believe so. I think the only progress that I've heard is council passed an ordinance directing the Revenue Division and the Housing Bureau to begin developing a rental unit registration system. And as of right now, the Housing Bureau is still working with the Revenue Division to form an IGA on how they're going to develop that system. So I think all the conversation has been internal city of figuring out how the work and costs are being divided between city bureaus, and there hasn't been any conversation about what the structure is or what the system will be or who's being involved in that conversation.
Okay. thank you.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Should we get drinks at some point?
At the meeting?
I'm just kidding, but we keep having these tough, long, tiring conversations. It makes me want a beer.
Hey, that roof.
There is a roof. I don't know if we can let volunteer commission members drink on their off time on the roof. And if two of you or more get drinks together, you can't talk about the RSC.
Deal.
Well then.
We'll talk about cats.
Perfect.
I think that means that Andreas has to come with us too, just to make sure we don't talk about anything that we're not supposed to.
I'm sure that he would be thrilled to police our conversations. Okay, I think we're there.
Alright, how are we doing right now? Are we wrapping up? Anything else for us?
I think I have everything I need.
Anything Great. Else, Katrina?
Thanks, y'all.
Meeting is adjourned. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, bye.